Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship Your holy name. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." He has already done it with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. First of all, everything God has is banked. Everything Jesus died for, everything He accomplished is banked for you and I. We are heirs of God and joint heir with Christ. So all of God's riches at Christ's expense, which is what is called grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid the price, but God is making all of this available to you and I. All of the riches of our redemption, all of the provisions of the new covenant are put in an account. And I love the fact that God did not go to Zenny Bank or First Bank, all these banks that can collapse, or these banks that are controlled by some human entities. He went to the Bank of Heaven and opened an account. And the name of the account is Jesus Christ. The name of the account is not you. He didn't open the account in your name. He opened the account in His name, but gave all of us the right to use that name. He gave us power of attorney, the right to use that name. That means you can put your signature on the check and they will cash. The Bank of Heaven recognizes once they see that name on the check. Sign any check with that name and they will cash it. In John chapter 14, if you read from verse 12, the Lord was talking about doing the works. He said, "The works that I do, you shall do, and greater works than this you shall do." He said, "Whosoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works." And He tells us the key to doing it. He said it's the signature of the Bank of Heaven. My name, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And He gave the reason so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Make sure that the driving force is to see God glorified, to see His name glorified, to see souls saved. You can make any demand. And you know what He said is anything. He didn't put limits. He didn't limit the amount to withdraw. Why? What was deposited, what is in the account, will take care of all human beings for the next 1 trillion years to come. All the unborn children, provision has been made for all of them. All sinners, provision has been made for them. All saints, provisions have been made for them. It's so serious that when He died on the cross, His death backdated all the way to Adam and took care of all of human problems from Adam to the last man that will ever be born. His death on the cross went back. The Bible said His death took care of the things, that sins that were committed even in the past, and His death went all the way to the future. When you give your life to Christ today and you say, "Come into my heart," and then you're being cleansed and you're being set free, it is not today that the provision was made. The provision was made 2,000 years ago. Actually, the Bible even said the provision was made before the foundation of the world. in the plan of God, the provision was made there, but that account was activated where he actually died and rose again from the dead 2,000 years ago. But today, you can draw on it. You can draw on it. The whole of Christianity, the whole Bible, is summarized in these three things. You want Christianity that is effective? These three things. Number one, have an understanding of your needs. Once you are aware of it, then two is have an understanding of the provision that God has made. Some of us know what is wrong with us. We know what we're going through. You know your struggles, but you don't know the provision. There is a solution, my friends. God has made a solution available, and he's banked it. It's all paid for, and he's banked it. The third is, now learn how to draw on that provision. Learn how to appropriate it. Learn the law of appropriation. Learn the secret of conversion. How to withdraw from that account. Provision has been made. And God made the provision because he understood that we have these needs. He foresaw the fall of man and planned man's redemption. The Bible said the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. What it means is not that Jesus died before the world was created. It's just that the plan was made then, because he saw ahead of time that Adam was going to mess up. So he made a provision. And so finally, in time, 2,000 years ago, he came to actually execute the plan by sacrificing himself on the cross. And when he died 2,000 years ago, the problem will now be, but there have been people living on the earth for 4,000 years. What becomes their fate? People who didn't meet you, who didn't have opportunity to meet the cross. But the Bible said when he died, he went to the underworld, he went to Hades and emptied Hades. All of those saints, Old Testament people that have been there, including Adam that ate the forbidden fruit, he brought all of them out of that place, because the price he paid went back all the way to Adam's sin. He brought all of them, and the Bible said he, on the day he resurrected, he brought all of them out with him. And that's when he took this mighty army of the redeemed, of the ransomed, with him back to the heaven. That's the Bible said when he actually rose from the dead, he took captivity captives. He took prisoners. He set them free and now took them. Because his death went all the way back and went all the way forward. He took care of the past, present, and the future. It's all paid for. It's all paid for. It's all paid for. But I asked the Lord one time, you open an account for me, why didn't you put it in my name? He said, because if I put it in your name and you blow it again like Adam, you lose it. You saw why Adam lost that. God put everything the rest of the human family will need in Adam's name. That one man blew it and all of us lost everything. I wasn't there when he ate the forbidden fruit, but all of us paid for the cost. By one man's sin, death came and passed on to all men. So he said, if I put it in your account and you mess up, you will lose it and possibly your descendants too. But I put it in his account, the one that is perfect, the one that has conquered sin already, the one that has been tested without sin, so that no matter whatever happens, what he paid for is never lost. If a prodigal son wakes up tomorrow and decides to come back home, the inheritance is still available. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Because this time they didn't put the inheritance in the prodigal son's account. You can see everything. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. In what? Christ. in Christ. The inheritance of the saints are in the light, and they are in Christ. Now, where is the location of this bank? It's in heaven. In heaven. Where is the location of this inheritance? In heaven. Where is the location of our resources? In heaven. Where do we live now? On earth. So, if there's so much money and you put it for me in a foreign account because you don't want it to be devalued when Naira goes up and down, you don't want the economy of my country to affect what you provided. So when depreciation happens, yeah, it doesn't affect it. So you keep it in a stronghold, a place you know that nothing fluctuates. And that's why the Lord teaches us to lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth corrupt. There is no rust, there is no inflation, there is no corruption, where thieves do not break in and steal, where banks do not collapse, where whatever you invest stays and you will use it. Learn to invest in that account. Do it through giving. Do it through sacrifice. Do it through service. Do it through soul winning. Do it through all of the different things you're doing for the kingdom of God. Don't let anybody confuse you about kingdom investment. Anybody that confuses you about that has robbed you, has cheated you out. Make sure you are buying shares. You're not wasting all your income here. You're not wasting all your life on yourself. Make sure you are uploading investments into where you're going. Because we are saved by grace, but then we're going to be rewarded according to what we have done. Though we are saved by grace, we are saved to walk. We are saved for good works, which God preordained that we should do. He saved us for a mission. He saved us for a purpose. Salvation is not an end. It's an admission. It's an admission. You just got admission into the university. Discipleship is the school. Deployment is where you go into the job market and begin to affect people in the kingdom. See, salvation is not an end, it's a means to something bigger. God saved you and I because he wanted us to be kings and priests unto our God. There is a calling on your life. There is a purpose for which he saved us. He told the children of Israel, he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they might serve me. It's salvation for service, it's deliverance for service. Now, if the account that holds my inheritance is open in Christ's name, and the way I assess it is putting that signature on any check, I need to show it to you one more time. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Then he shows us verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask. That's the key. That's how to make the withdrawal. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then the next verse. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So prayer is making withdrawals. Service is making deposits. Giving is making deposits. Sacrifice is making deposits. Prayer is making withdrawals. So that's where I want to show you something before I turn on to the next session. There is now that question. What is the law of conversion? How do I move wealth from a foreign account to a local account? How do I transfer what belongs to me from a heavenly account to an earthly reality? How do I assess what Jesus has provided. Grace made the provision, but it's faith that makes the appropriation. Grace made the provision. Christ, by his finished work on the cross, provided all of what the Bible calls unsearchable riches. It is with the law of faith I make the withdrawals. That's where many believers are stuck. And you must understand the life of faith if you want to walk in victory. You know, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It is no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives within me. Now he now says something. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The key to Christian life is the faith life. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died for me and gave himself for me. The key to the Christian life is your faith life. I love the mind-boggling revelation God has given you as taking that law of appropriation to another level. Faith for nations. It's one of the places I want to zero in now, not in teaching it, but in application of it. So I said, you know your needs. You have understanding of your needs. You need to get a revelation of the provisions. Once you have a revelation of the provisions, the next is to learn how to appropriate. That's where faith comes. How to now take those things and apply it to the needs in order to, whether the need is healing, or the need is finance, or the need is deliverance, or the need is, you know, salvation for people or for yourself, or the need is whatever. Provision has been made, but by the application of the law of faith, the law of appropriation, the law of conversion, we can take advantage of what has been provided. And now, my friends, everybody learns how to do it first at a personal level, personal appropriation. When you have learned how to catch things for yourself, how to get your needs met by faith, then you move to a second level where you learn to appropriate for others. You learn to believe God for others. You learn to, not only for fellow believers, younger Christians, you learn to help them with using your own faith. You also learn to help a lot of sinners, to believe people into the kingdom of God with that faith. Then you move to a third level, where you can learn to use it for whole nations, for whole cities, for whole society. So Psalm 2 verse 7 said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. The big prize is the nation. The big prize is not getting a car. Getting a car is where we start. Really, it's not a car that I'm talking about. It's meeting personal needs is where you start. That's where babies start. Then you grow to using the law of appropriation or the law of conversion to get things for others, people under your care. A pastor can believe for things for the church, for his people. But the greatest thing you can teach them is to teach them how to make withdrawals themselves. But when people are beginners in the things of God, like it is in the natural, adults have to help younger ones, kids. And there are times when sometimes brothers and sisters get hit by the enemy and they become wounded. When people are sick, it is healthy people that have to come and succor them, treat them and support them. You use your faith to There's a story of a crippled man, a paralyzed man, that was brought to Jesus, and he was carried by four men. and they got there, they couldn't access Jesus because the crowd was so much that the whole house was filled, outside was filled, but Jesus was inside. So you know what they did? They carried the man and climbed to the roof and opened the roof of somebody's house. You see the kind of risk they took? But not for themselves, for their friend. And from the roof, they lowered the man into the presence of Jesus. And I wanted to show them the scripture. The Bible said, where he saw their faith. It didn't say where he saw his faith. Jesus did not see the faith of the man that was being carried. He saw the faith of the others who were Kabados, Tomaya, Kibala. So, don't you understand this, sir? That if you have an account with Zenith Bank, and maybe that I don't, or maybe my own is deficient, and you want to help me, you can use your account and solve my problem. Am I correct? The law of appropriation works, whether it's personal or corporate. Individuals can sign that check, but some other people can sign it for others. There's corporate faith, my friend. There's united faith. And then at that moment, things move to a whole new level. Kabato, Sorote, Efisha, Kayabut. Can you imagine bringing a little girl out here? Small girl, she's not able to pay her school fees. Her parents are not able to pay her school fees. And we ask her, how much is your school fee? She says, $20,000 a year. And that's why they send her out of school. And I ask everybody here, sign check. You think what she will end up getting is only $20,000? When corporate faith comes in, the thing moves to another level. It moves to another level. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of power, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And of course, you know the rest of the story. The man got up healed. He said, which one is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up, take up your bed, and go? It's a law of appropriation. It's a law of conversion. It's just English. Appropriation, conversion, the same thing. Maybe better word, withdrawal. So it's about how to move your inheritance from the heavenly places to the earthly realm. How to move it from the realm of the spirit to the realm of the physical. How to move it from where Jesus kept it to where I need it, where I can now have it. They have billions stuck in London for you, but you live in Nigeria. That's what we are talking about. Your parents maybe lived in London and left the money for you, and they are gone. Now it's time to use it. And you live in Nigeria. There has to be transfer. You have to apply for transfer of funds because they don't use pounds here. And even if you get pounds here, there has to be conversion. So that's what the law of conversion is. There are five laws of conversion, and I've just mentioned them, and I'm through. It is what Brother Hagin has taught over the years, but God has kind of opened my understanding to really see the dynamics, how it works. You read Kenneth Hagin's books and his teaching on faith, you led the faith movement, you will be familiar with what I'm about to say, but you will see some elements that might not be clear. If you get this, you can always convert. Oh yes, that's how I'm living in victory. That's how I'm living. I live in victory. I'm telling you the truth. Not because I'm strong, but because I convert strength. It's in the provision. I convert the strength of Christ to my own strengths. I'm a blessed man. Not because I have money, I don't. But because I convert his wealth. I'm healthy. Not because I'm strong. I'm weak, but I convert his strength. That's how I stay healed. That's how I even get healed when any enemy tries to attack my body. Not because I'm stronger than Satan, but because he is stronger than Satan, and I convert his strength. That's how I have revelation and wisdom. I'm not wise. I'm very stupid. But then I convert his wisdom, I convert his guidance, and I walk by the light, and that saves me from a lot of trouble. It's the Lord that said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. If you are one of those that are weak, one of those that don't have hookup, there are unlimited resources for you. If you're a stammerer, don't do like Moses and say, I can't talk. Do like a robot, maybe like Benny Hinn. Where are the other ones? There are a number of them that became prolific preachers, like me. Say, I can't. But you can. There is a touch of the Holy Spirit on the human tongue. Do you know there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? 3 of them has to do with the tongue. It's a touch of God on the tongue. They are called utterance gifts. When the touch comes, out of your mouth flows rivers of living water, mysteries, wisdom, God's oracle. And people would think he's so learned. There are 3 of the gifts that had to do with the eyes, the inner eyes, the ability to see. There are revelation gifts. And there are 3 of them that has to do with demonstration power, the ability to do. Once a stammerer can speak in tongues, he can speak normally. You only stammer when you speak for your head. You don't stammer when you speak for your spirit. There is no stammering in your human spirit. So such a person, when you need to preach, when you need to be used by God, stop depending on your tongue or on your own intellect. Depend on the Holy Spirit and on the recreated human spirit, and you'll find liberty. Conversion. 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 We need to understand conversion, because it looks like the church is taught more about I don't know which one is more emphasized. There's a lot about giving, for example. What about receiving? It's like in leadership and followership. More is said about leadership. What about followership? Because it's followership that leads to leadership. You find your leadership while you are following. That's how Joshua, Timothy, every other person found. So, while we talk about giving, we also need to talk about receiving. Conversion. Conversion. There are 5 laws of conversion, like your 5 fingers. The first is what Jesus said. Whatsoever you ask in my name is prayer. Prayer is always the first law of conversion. Whenever you want to move things from the spiritual realm to the physical, this is where to start. I use other words like communion, spending time with him, and whatever other words you can find. That's where it begins, and prayer will precipitate revelation. That's usually what prayer does. Communion with the Lord will lead to climaxing. Climaxing is like what happens between a husband and a wife. When climaxing happens, there's ejaculation. And that ejaculation is revelation, starts flowing. So anytime you're praying and you break into that realm where God starts talking, revelation starts flowing, scripture starts coming alive, you are broken into level 2. It means things have left the account, they are coming. So when God moves money to you, or moves healing to you, or moves miracles to you, they don't come physical. I think you understand technology today. You say, Pastor, give me, send me 100,000, and I press my phone, and you get alert in your phone. Once you get alert, you know it's money. Is that not so? It's not until you see the physical cash. But that is the thing. Once your spirit picks alert, the download starts. The prayer has been answered. The first thing, money has been moved. Whatever it is that you are asking for has been moved, has been transferred. And for example, now, what we are doing this morning is that we are doing first level of conversion. We are doing communion, worship. That's what we're doing here. And I join in that. And we got to a point, download started. It is a download that made me minister to people. There was no point. We came here for training. There was no such plan. Look at the plan, the program, it was not there. When the revelation hits me, okay, certain people needed, okay. What is going on is that the first law of conversion, which is communion, in communion you have worship, you have prayer, you have spending time with God, you have fellowship with Him, you have all of that. And then revelation broke in. You can see that revelation, that I acted on it. And if you want, now we'll check, you see how many people have been healed, how many people have been set free. So the whole of camp meeting, it has been cooked. We need to now convert all of them. So at the second stage is not just to be talking to God, is to learn to hear Him. The truth is that it's not that He's not talking, He's talking. He's learning how to pick His signals. It's like when I send that thing, your phone gives you a sign. If you don't know, you don't know what it is, you just ignore it. But it's money that has just entered your account. You just hear kick him or whatever sign your phone gives. Your human spirit also gives you a signal. And they go, Boma, Kabati, Tuboloka, Paya, Pala, Paya. So it's so much God has for you this weekend. Everybody lift up one hand. Just pray in the spirit for a while. Just 1 second. We are converting. Convert. Some are revelation. Some are guidance. Some are finances. Some are anointing. New impartation. Kegegobo. Koroba. Yogomoro. Sumaligi. Piantoros. Shikobranama. Hey. 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 Susa. Sere. Sere. Sede is a new level for you, sir. Shut up! It's a new level for you. It's a new level for you. Bring your wife, sir. Bring her, bring her, bring her. You're going to have a strong ministry of relationship, and it will go with a form of healing ministry, healing fibroid, and all kinds of things that has to do with women and their issues. Serious! All kinds of things that deal with women, menstrual problem, barrenness, all kinds of things. God will make your mouth like a surgeon's knife. You'll be able to deal with the emotional problems and uproot them out of the lives of people. Kadisto, you're a marriage surgeon. Sitaba. Kete, kete, kete. Hey, listen to me. Leave him to be doing all this transformation, leadership. Forget about that. It's not your own calling. Your own calling is to cover another area that will complement his. You're not called to be him. You're called to complement him. That gives you something to bring to the table. And this is the area. Go and build young girls, young men. Build singles, build families, and then there will be a healing anointing. It will be coming on you. Nothing happening in that realm. Shoot! It all begins with prayer. It all begins with prayer. Nothing else works until you start praying. Cité, 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 hey, et cité, cité, cité. Supernatural is the way forward. Is the way forward. That's how to break a city. That's how to take the city. That's how to break the city. That's how to take it. Sete balia, sete baria. Bring him back, lift him up. You have asked, what do I do next? How do I move this church forward? How do I give it breakthrough and make it supernatural? Start healing services. Kabis, 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 kabis.
Saying to him, I want to extend it to everybody.
You see, the gospel is not meant to be preached only by words. It's supposed to be back with power. You want to hit your city? You want to take your city?
Agida, but the power of the Holy Spirit is available. Everyone say conversion. Everyone say conversion. Lift up your hand. Pray in the Akabiano. Kato, 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 kato. Kato! Kato!
Name.
Be seated. Every one of you, listen. There is a secret to the miraculous. The Lord said I should hand you that secret now. First is the law of activation. The other is the law of revelation. The law of activation is prayer, worship. In the Old Testament time, there is something Moses used to do. When they built God the ark, and the glory of God came and rested on that ark, on the mercy seat, on top of that ark, the glory of God will sit on top of that ark inside the mercy seat. So there are times God will want the children of Israel to move. More than 40 times they will settle, and then there will be time they will start moving. And the Bible said, it's whenever that glory moves, the children of Israel will get up and start following. So anytime it's time for movement, Moses has a statement that he always makes. You can even show it to them. Moses will say, arise, O God. What happened? Are your enemies be scattered? Moses was now explaining that there is difference between kinetic energy and potential energy. When that glory is resting and is sitting there, he's not doing anything, there's no movement. But when he tells the Lord that glory to arise, what happens is that it moves, it becomes a moving force. It starts moving, even though it covers the children of Israel, and then they move with it. That's how we got that thing. Move with the cloud, move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. You don't just leave the Holy Spirit Maybe whenever he likes, let him move.
Whenever there is need for that.
The law of activation is prayer, is communion, is worship. The Holy Spirit comes, he resides in the believer. He dwells in you. But activation moves him from just being spirit within to spirit upon. And spirit upon is the one you use to get the job done. Spirit within is the one that helps us live the Christian life, and we have him all the time. But you need to have, I'm talking about the anointing in operation. I'm talking about unction to function. I'm talking about the move of the Holy Ghost, the move of the of God. Everybody said that, arise, O God. Let your enemies be scattered. Said, arise, O God. Let your enemies be scattered. So praying is prayer is what activates. And when activation happens, revelation starts flowing. So at that moment, a person listens. You don't just pray. Prayer is supposed to be a dialogue now. While you are talking to the Lord, listen. Know where he starts talking and pick up what he's saying. Prayer is upload, but prayer activates download. So you see, you pick it up. The last step in the miraculous is acting on that revelation. Whenever you act on what God has said, the next thing you see, boom, explosion. Just watch one simple example. River Red Sea and the army of Egypt coming behind the children of Israel, pursuing them. And Moses looked and saw that. Bible says Moses cried to the Lord, prayer. And while he cried to the Lord said, Moses, revelation has started. See, prayer activates. Revelation now was the next thing. He said to Moses, why are you crying to me? What do you have in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, take it, stretch it over the waters. Now, at this stage, you are level two, revelation. But nothing happens in terms of miraculous until revelation is what? Acted upon. When Moses now took the rod and stretched it over the water, what happened? Explosion. The water divided. That's the key to the miraculous. The key to the miraculous is not that we get up, we just start doing whatever we like. The key to the miraculous is that we precipitate unction through prayer, and then we act on the unction. What the anointing teaches, what he guides, what he tells to do, you act on it, that anointing explodes and gets that job done. So one time you see Jesus touching a blind man, receive your sight. Another time he spat on clay, got it and rubbed it on the blind man. Where is he getting all those things from? It's not a formula. Anytime you see a blind man, you go and spit and rub on him. You don't do it. Is out of prayer, out of a spirit that is in tune with God, you have revelation, inspiration. You are guided. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do at any moment, do it. He will anoint it to happen. If everybody is taught to pray, we have taught them the life, supernatural life 101. But if everybody is now taught how to hear from God, you have taught them supernatural life 102. But if you now teach them how to act on it, you have taught them how to have dominion. The third law of conversion is conviction. So, revelation produces what? Conviction. What do we mean by that? Faith. All these are laws of faith, you know. What do we mean by that? Faith. Revelation, inspiration, whatever. But divine inspiration. When the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. There are two hearings. The second hearing is what explodes faith in the human soul. It is not getting the letter. It is getting the rhema. So that's what we call revelation. Faith comes by hearing. Let me ask you, for Moses in front of that river,
Which sermon did he hear that day to have faith to divide the water? Did anybody preach to him? If you were to listen to what was going on, you won't have any faith because everybody was complaining. The children of Israel were afraid. Everybody was complaining. And the army of Pharaoh was rushing to catch up with them. What happened is that he started talking to the Lord. That's what you do with communion. And you don't have to even say it out. It can be inside you. And the Lord responded, "What do you have in your hands?" And sometimes what God can tell you might be something you know, something you've told other people. But when revelation, light comes on it, it becomes quickened. Word, it becomes rhema. And that's what produces faith. Faith is not a mental thing. Faith is not a mechanical thing. Faith is what happens to us when the word is digested. It's digested truth that produces faith. It's revealed truth. So at the point of communion, for example, it might be the word that I'm studying. And I ask God, open my eyes, give me spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then that word opens and it starts speaking to me. So I've entered revelation and then faith comes alive. It's just like now you are listening to a rhema word. So it's injecting faith. We're using glucose system. We're using intravenous system to feed faith into your system. The normal system is that you have to hear something and digest it with your mind, then it gets into your spirit. But faith is being imparted to you. That's why in this environment it's easy to believe for anything. So conviction is the natural result of revelation. And then from conviction you have confession. You have declaration. Some people call it prophesy to that situation. If I take the dry bone experience, you notice that revelation came. Son of man, what do you see? He was taken in the spirit and shown, and then he was asked, can the bone live? And he said, God, you are the only one that knows. The Lord now gave him prophesy to this bone. So out of that, the faith to speak to dry bones comes. Faith comes from hearing God's word. Whether you heard it preached or you are reading it and it was quickened, or the Lord speaks to you directly. And then the last is action. Execution. Whatever you like, walk. Let's take salvation. Let's take a sinner. What's the first thing I need to do for someone that is lost, completely in darkness, to receive Christ? What's the first thing I need to do for him?
Prayer.
And one of the things you do when you pray for him is to target what the scripture mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. He said the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So when I start praying for them, I ask God to open their eyes to see what Christ has done for them, to see the condition they are living in, and you know, to see the provision that Christ has made, then what we pray precipitate? A revelation. What? What is the first thing prayer will produce in their eye, in their lives? Their eyes will become open. But in the process of winning people to Christ, it also means that somebody needs to preach at that stage. Bring a word. There are some of them like Saul of Tarsus that God had to speak to by himself. But it also means that somebody has to bring a word and open their eyes. The Holy Spirit can also do it directly.
Of course, he will start working on them. But they need to have insights. They need to have the gospel preached to them. And then when the gospel is preached to them, normally the gospel will produce faith, saving faith. You will see conviction. Saving faith will come into their heart. And then you lead them into a confession. Because the Bible said, with heart man believes unto righteousness, but with mouth what? Confession is made unto salvation. It's not enough to believe. They need to confess the lordship of Christ. If you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth, what happens? You shall be saved. So, tell me, you start the initiative. It's the church that starts the initiative by praying for the lost. The lost might pick it up somewhere in praying for himself when the revelation has started hitting him. But it's the church that starts. How does a baby come here? Is it parents that start or the baby that starts? It's parents. And then at that second stage of revelation, it's also the church that has the responsibility of bringing the gospel to him, to enlighten him. The Holy Spirit will be working on him because we are praying, opening his eyes. But we are the ones to go and sow the seeds that will create, produce the faith that produces salvation. You see, people don't get saved till they hear. I know somebody said to me once, I knelt down beside my bed in my room, nobody preached to me, and I gave my life to God. I said, you're a liar. I said, what you're saying is like a baby. Just nobody gave birth to me. I just got up and came back. I said, it's not true. What happened is that they may have preached to you last week, last year, last month, but today you are acting on it. You may have watched it on TV. You may have heard it at one time. You didn't respond at that time, but finally now you are doing it. If people can get saved without preaching, there will be no need for the Great Commission. Now, there are supernatural convey, you know, communication of the gospel. In some cases, Jesus appeared, angels appeared, but they have to get a revelation before they can have faith for salvation. And then they confess Christ as their Lord, and they are saved. Now, I want you to watch this. The law of salvation states that it's by faith that we are saved, not by works. You can show it to them. Is that Ephesians chapter 2, 6 to 8? Verse 8, if I'm correct. We are not saved by works, we are saved by faith in the finished work of Christ. By grace, you are saved through faith. When they believe and confess, that's because they have heard. They will be saved. This is the gift of God. This is not of works, lest any man should boast. Like a baby boasting, I give birth to myself. How can you do that? But look at verse 9. Verse 10, I mean, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Here is the point. I'm trying to lead you to number 5, action. If you take action from the laws of faith, you invalidate everything. Even though, do you know sometimes healing power comes upon people that are shaking? Then the witcher, they are shaking. And I'm explaining this to you because you're going to help a lot of people tomorrow night in the night of glory. Power of God comes upon them, maybe in worship or as prayer is going on. You see them shaking, the power is vibrated, but he's still on the witcher, he's still holding. All he needs is somebody to tell him, get up, give me your hand. Once he takes the first step, you see him, he's released, he starts running. Now, it is not the walk that got him healed. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that got him healed. Because if it is your walk that gets you healed, then all we need to do is tell every person in wheelchair, start exercising. Every morning exercise, you will be fine. But you know that exercising with paralysis for the next 100 years will not get them healed. Exercising your eyes for a blind man will never get the eye healed. Tell the blind man, just blink, 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 blink. The eyes will open. He will never open. So what got the man healed is the power of the Holy Spirit. Many times Jesus will even say, your faith has made you what? Whole. Why does God now require the action? Action is what produces manifestation. When we believe, we receive. But when we act, it shows up. Look at you. You go to bank, you write that check or fill up the form stating that I want 1 million to, you know, and you, when you finish, you have just done the law of conversion. You stop at that level and go home. Because when you put in such a request, they take it in and actually go to get the money. Am I correct? What is the last thing you do as somebody who truly wants money? I collect your cash. The last law of conversion is action. Anything beyond action here is manifestation. You know, the only thing you find beyond action is results. So, if you want to understand conversion, you know, it's actually that same process by which we transmit human beings from the realm of the spirit to the realm of the physical. You follow that process to get here. Your parents started with communion. They call it intercourse. And then there is ejaculation. And then out of that ejaculation, there is fertilization. That's what you call conviction. When revelation fertilizes the human heart, it produces conviction. That's what you call faith. Don't struggle about faith. The way you don't struggle about energy, you eat food. Once you digest them, they naturally give you what? Energy. Don't struggle about faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So if you get up in the morning, you feel depleted, you don't feel like there is any faith in you, just go into communion with God and worship and fellowship with him and get his word into you. Faith will naturally come. Faith is not a struggle. It's not something mechanical. It's a standard process, operating procedure. Just feed the word inside your spirit, meditate on it, it naturally produces faith. Just like you feed food into your body, it produces energy and those nutrients that your body needs. Simple. You don't get up and start struggling. I'm hungry, energy, I bind it, I don't have... No. You just put food in your mouth. Your system acts on it and give you energy. Just put the word in your spirit. And you know, you feed physically with your mouth, you feed spiritually with your... Yes, put the word in your system and your spiritual system will act on it, and guess what it releases to you? Faith. Amazingly true, there is something about faith. You know, there is faith that comes by hearing, and that's how we live. The just shall live by faith. Feed on the word, it gives you faith, and you have the power to live your Christian life. We start depleting your spirit of spiritual food. You deplete it of faith. And then you start becoming weak. Your unbelief and doubt will grow. Circumstances will start dominating you. That's faith that comes by hearing. But there's also faith that comes by impartation. Yes. When the disciples could not deliver that young boy that had
had epilepsy. Jesus came to them. They said, why could we not cast him out, that devil? And Jesus said, because of unbelief. He said, if you had faith, like mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to that place, and it will obey you, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Then Jesus made a statement, and we all need to hear that statement. He said, but this kind does not go but by what? Fasting and prayer. Jesus is also teaching that there is also faith that is given intravenously by impartation, like the gift of faith. One of those spiritual gifts is not necessarily because you heard a word and all that. It's just in the place of communion, in the place of fellowship, spending time with him, in the place of that, is activated. There is a higher level of faith that's activated by the presence of God. Faith normally is activated by the word of God, but there is a higher capacity of faith that is activated by his presence. You want to have faith to do the impossible. Not only become a person of the word, become a person of his presence. Learn to spend time with him and absorb some of that divine virtue into your being. Be a worshiper. Learn to have a surrendered life in the place of worship. Yeah, whichever way your physical body wants to posture that helps you, take it. Because you take the posture in worship that your spirit takes. If you are standing but your spirit is lying, just join it. If you are standing, your spirit is kneeling, just follow it. Because you see what you do when you want to fetch water, you go to a tap, you don't keep the bucket ahead of the tap. You put it what? You surrender it under, and then water fills it. In worship, which is intercourse with the Father, communion with him, God impregnates you not only with revelation, he impregnates you with supernatural faith. He does it in prayer. He impregnates you with revelation. He impregnates you with his faith. So Moses went to Egypt, conquered Egypt, and brought 3 million people out. He didn't use a gun. He didn't use bomb. He didn't have an army behind him. What did Moses use to bring them out? The Bible said, by faith, Moses. In the same thing, he said, by faith, Abraham. In the same thing, he said, by faith, Noah. Let's rediscover how to explode this atomic power of God in our soul. Our generation needs us to be men and women of faith, men and women of obedience. Our generation needs us to become Abraham in our own time. But it doesn't matter who you talk about, because sometimes when we read Hebrews 11, we only talk about their faith part, by faith. Show it to them. Noah, where he was warned of God about danger, about flood that was coming, he was moved with fear, and he built an ark with which he saved his family. Let me make a point. He didn't just believe what God said. Revelation came to him that flood was coming. That revelation produced faith. He believed it. The Bible says, be moved by fear, because this one is danger. Be moved by fear, he acted on what he heard. So it's not just faith that saved Noah, it was faith and obedience. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. So, two books. Oh, no, not really say two books. Let's say two apostles. Paul the apostle and James the brother of Jesus. Paul argues a man is saved by faith and faith alone. And James the brother of Jesus, who was an apostle in Jerusalem, argues that it's not faith only, that obedience is needed. Maybe you should show it to them. Show them where James said, was Abraham our father saved only by faith? Remember in Romans chapter 4, Paul has argued that that's how Abraham was saved. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. I think you should start with that one before I end. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. And so the Bible makes it clear that that was not just only accounted to Abraham, it's also accounted to everyone that believes. Start from verse 5. Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. He that therefore ministered to you the Spirit worketh miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I've already done that illustration. Take a blind man or a deaf person. Let him start shaking your ear. It will make him or tell him to do one good works, go and buy something for the poor. It's not going to get him healed. Miracles are worked by act of faith. The law that I'm explaining to you this morning, by the law of faith. Anyway, verse 6. The Bible said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, talking about the same thing, he said, what did Abraham our father discover? Abraham discovered the law of faith. This thing we're telling you. He believed God. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not made to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Okay, continue. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those which are of the law, but to those which are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Add one more verse, or maybe two. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Okay, here is the balancing that James did in James, and he's not the only one that did that. Apostle John also did the same balancing. James now asks the question, was Abraham our father only justified by faith? Was he not also justified by obedience? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Paul said we are justified by faith. This man is arguing and he knows what he's talking about. Some people think they are contradicting themselves. No. He's telling you the last thing in the law of faith is what? Action. That faith must have what? Corresponding action. He said, was Abraham our father justified? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Go on, verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was what? Perfect. Once you add action, you have completed the law of faith. Once you have add action, you have completed the law of conversion. If action is missing, faith is not perfected, it's not completed. Faith is perfected by his works. And yes, go on. And the scripture was fulfilled. We said Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified
and not by faith only. He didn't say he's not justified by faith, but it's not by faith.
I showed it to you in Ephesians. By grace we are saved through faith. And then after that, he now said, but we are saved for good works, which God ordained that we should walk in it. So somebody who says he's saved does not produce the fruit, then I doubt his salvation. For example, Jesus gave us fruit. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have what? Love one for another. The truth is that when people give their life to Christ, we don't give them some guidelines. Start having communion with God. Start reading your Bible. Start attending fellowship and meet with other believers. Start witnessing. It's not as though it is the witnessing that gets into heaven. It is the finished work of Christ that gets. But when he starts doing that, his Christian life, his faith life grows and explodes. When he doesn't do that, he will starve his spiritual life. He's not having prayer life. He's not having word life. He will starve himself to death. Next time he's backsliding. He's not having fellowship. We are saved by grace, but we are saved for works. So if you're a grace preacher, balance it. Balance it, my friend. Both for your good and those you are teaching. Teach them good works. Teach them godly lifestyle. John the Baptist said it differently. He said, bear fruit, meet unto repentance. Produce fruit that show that you have repented. Don't come and make confession to Jesus. Tomorrow you are still an armed robber. Don't come and make confession and receive Christ. You are still a prostitute. Or if you're not a prostitute standing in the street, you are a aristo prostitute, jumping from men to men, or temple prostitute, sleeping with the ones you met inside church. Don't come and make confession to Christ and say, I've received Christ. You're still stealing. No. Turn away from those dead works and serve the living God. Amen. You know, I use salvation, but then I can use healing. I can use finance. I can use any other thing. The five laws is what you have to apply. And may I say this especially? The part that is called work, or the part that is action, there are certain areas of conversion where it is actually real work. Work. Get into prayer now and start talking to the Lord about a building project for the church or family building. You want to have a building, put a roof over your family's house. As you start talking, he will start somewhere, revelation will start coming, ideas on what to do. And then you will have faith. As you start acting on that, things will develop. Maybe buy this land. And you know, God will move. You will start linking up things. But you will get to that part where you realize that there is work to do. We have to go meet an architect and design the building. There might be some ideas coming to you through revelation, but now you have to convert it to paper. And then, as we move on, that we have to get contractors, get... and. So there are some conversions that are not instant. To a human being takes 9 months to convert from a spirit to a real person. Some project takes years to convert, 2 years, 1 year, whatever. Somebody wants to grow a church, a mega church, wants to plant, you know, 1,000 churches in your state, or wants to grow a mega church of so. Oh, some things take time to convert.
Because if you get a baby out here that is 1 month old, even you, the parents, will run. At 1 month, human beings look like tadpoles. They even have tails. You don't want that in your house. At one time, they even look like lizard with tail. It's conversion ongoing. When it completes, it's a complete baby. That's why sometimes I shorten it. I say conversion is actually three stages: conception, incubation, and delivery. That's what conversion is. All these five things I said, you can just, at the place of communion, prayer, you conceive. Whether it's a vision, a revelation, or whatever it is, it's an incubation period. That's where time, where you carry that thing, where you have to birth it, and then finally there's delivery time. That's when you have to go to maternity and push. Walk. That's hard work. What's the hardest part of giving birth to a baby? Is it birthing the baby in the maternity? Or is it carrying the baby? Or is it conceiving the baby? Is it delivery or incubation? What do you think, sir? Pastor Ban, I'm sure you have some kids. Which one, delivery or incubation?
Delivery.
Let's talk to women. Incubation is 9 months. Delivery is probably 1-2, if it is too much, 3 days. If it passes a day two, you need to do operation. Any woman, madam, I saw you smiling. Have you delivered before? How many kids? Okay, one. You are the one that will tell them. These men claim to know. Which one is the hardest part? The easiest part is conceiving now. Everybody knows that. Am I correct? That one is the sweet part, self. Oh, horrible, lobo, momo, yekele. I saw how you were doing it. Lebe, lebe. Lift up your hands. Oh, yeke, ba, loco, lobo, momo, yobo. Love making is the sweet part. Worship. Hey, bless the Lord, oh my. Okay, boy, boy, boy. That's the sweet part. That's why Kyra loves it. Anybody loves that part? It's when she gets pregnant. And what God has put inside her, I want you to get me 100,000 souls. When God puts inside you now, I want you to sow to the building project 10 million. Some of you will jump out of what you are doing. I bind, I reject. God, some don't want to lose their shape. You see how pretty you look, my dear. Some, when you get pregnant, it might affect your account. And it might affect your shape, and all of that. But people like us that have given birth to many things for the Almighty, I've learned a lot in the process of the journey. I've been to maternity many times. And anytime a new thing is coming from heaven, I have to surrender my womb again. That's why I'm his bride. I'm not here just having fun. We are here to bet the purposes of God on the earth. It's madam that is supposed to tell us. She has not talked to us. Yes, madam. The good part is the easy part. So we're not talking about conception. Everybody can do that. Tell me about the other two parts. Incubation, 9 months, and of course, birthing of the baby. Which one is the tough part, toughest part?
The birthing.
Why do you think maybe something that will last for a day or less than a day or two is tougher than 9 months of carrying it?
Well, when it comes to giving birth, I was actually thinking about it this morning. You're supposed to push when the contraction is the most painful, when it's really, really painful. and that's when you push, and that's when the baby, because that's when the baby is wants to come, you know, that's when the baby wants to come, and that's when you need to push, and they would say push, you know, and you have to push like your whole body, your whole being, even you want the baby to come out, you know, because it's at, it's like here, like you just want the baby to come out of you, and you know.
Now, Pastor Norms, PCJ, maybe you are the only ones I tell this. I was telling Pastor Sarah before coming, I think about 2 days ago, that there's an aspect of all these camp meetings and some of these meetings we do that I worry about if all these pastors we have trained know how we cook these meetings. Maybe you just think we get paper and just write programs, put people there. I pastor by revelation. I pastor by incubation. It's from prayer to revelation. And through incubation, a lot of it, sometimes it takes me months. Sometimes it takes me weeks. Because at the point of manifestation is not where the problem is. It is when you have done the secret place jobs, these other ones, and then you guys don't know, you know. And I really want many of our pastors to come up to that level. Because a lot of people are at the manifestation stage where they eat the food. They don't know what happens behind the factory. They don't know. People, thousands of people are going to be this weekend to come and experience God, experience the presence of God, experience of God. They don't know how the purposes of God are bettered. Remember, there is a stage where conversion is for me, where I'm trying to get my needs met. There's another stage where it is people. But there's another stage where it's the God's purpose. It's not about me. It is about thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is the three most important prayer on earth. Has nothing to do with man. Neither our needs. I'm talking about our needs, all these basic needs. The most important prayer Jesus taught is, hallowed what? Be your name. The first three articles of kingdom prayer. That one is, let your name be glorified. How many of you want to see God glorified? You want to see that? And for those of us who talk about mission, that's the first thing. The glory of God is the first thing. When that happens, the second stage, thy kingdom come, or where the mission of God comes, becomes easy. Worship comes before mission. The pursuit of God's glory should be the greatest desire of every Christian on the earth. To see him glorified on the earth, to see him glorified in your life, to see him glorified in whatever circumstance. Paul even said in his own case, whether it's by death or by life, Christ is going to be magnified in my body. That's how I'm going to live. That's how I'm going to die. In my life, in my death, Jesus is going to be glorified in me. When you talk about principles of sonship, one of them is that sons are given to bring glory to their father, not disgrace. To bring honor to their father. That's why I live, to bring that to my heavenly father. So the first and most important prayer is, let your name be glorified. Let your name be sanctified. Let your name be feared. Let your name be reverenced. Number two is, let your kingdom come. And the last is, let your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. This is conversion prayer. What is happening there? Those things you have planned, those things you have proposed, let them begin to happen here. Let's shift some things from heaven to earth. Let's transfer some things. Healing is the will of God, but we need it to happen in the lives of people. Salvation is the will of God. We need it to happen in the lives of people. Deliverance is God's will, but we need it to happen in the lives of people. So it's prayer that is the first law of conversion. Move those things, and out of prayer God will begin to quicken men to do things. In conclusion, why I talk to that lady is to be able to tell you, many of you are going to find yourself in maternity with that instruction. Push. Don't hold back. Because two things can die. It's not only that the dream can die, the mother can also die. Keeping back a baby can kill you. Having a dead baby inside you can kill you. That part is where faith reaches its climax. Everyone said that word, push. You know what is required here? Just obey God, no matter how difficult it looks. Just obey God, no matter what it looks like. Sometimes it will look like you are stupid. It might be giving. It might be giving now. It might be giving. Just obey God. I have seen it. I have died a thousand deaths when it comes to giving. Just obey God. Cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, you're going to find it again. Just obey God. That instruction is going to come. Everyone shout that word, push. That's where the tire meets the road. So when we get to the field and we release, the power of God hits the people, we're going to ask for all pastors to go in and help us with the last law of conversion. Now, it's not just the last. You might have to start with speaking. We have to speak to the man's body and get him up. Take his steps, sir. Man, start with laying hands on him. But there are many of them, he just help them take that step. And when they do, what happens is that power converts to physical. You know, if I tell you stories after stories, look at the man, he spat on the clay and rubbed up. The man told him, go and act. Go to the river or the pool and wash. Anointing has been released for healing. Go and wash and you'll come back healing. He is a blind man. If he was not hooked up to faith frequency, he will ask you, can't you see that I cannot see? Why are you sending me to the river? Why are you not even escorting me? What kind of stupid instruction? Like you're talking to somebody I cannot see. That is not his business. Like when Elijah told Naaman, go to that water, Jordan, deep 7 times. That's action. They are giving them the last instruction in order to convert what they are looking for. When God wants to bless you, he gives you an instruction. I said, when God wants to bless you, he gives you an instruction. Especially in finances. Not only that, even in healing, in other things. When God wants to bless you, he gives you an instruction. When a seed leaves your hand, it has not left your world. It only goes into your future to create a harvest. Now, with understanding today, women are cooperating with midwives to birth children. Yeah. When the Holy Ghost midwife gives you an instruction, cooperate. Cooperate. You understand it, you don't understand it. It always makes sense after. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And you know, committee has started though. Don't wait for another session. No, it might be here now as I'm talking now, and there is an instruction. Act on it. Act on it. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I don't think you are hearing me. Delayed obedience. Don't say it's another session. You know how some people are waiting for what section? When God comes, move. When the water is troubled, jump inside. Once you see the pool of Bethesda, drop, jump in, act. Elijah said to that man, when you see me translated, that mantle will come on you. Such kairos moment comes whenever God is moving. You don't miss them. You don't miss them. It is not what God says to us that changes your life. It is what God says to you. In the midst of all that is being preached, there will be rhema words coming to you. They are your own words. They come inside your spirit and shake it and weaken it and pump it. Act on it. Act on it.
It might be the one you need to speak. It might be go and apologize to somebody. Do it. It might be go and show that and do it. That's how people enter into new season. That's how people enter into new levels. And then God wants to bless you. He gives you an instruction. He gives you an instruction. When he says, go offer Isaac, it's Israel he's trying to give you. He's trying to give you Israel. There is only one man God is looking for. One man. And one man with God is the majority. If he finds the man, he can do anything. There's a man that will believe him and the man that will obey him. He's not looking for perfect people, though. He's not looking for perfect people. Read about all of them. These men of faith, they were not. They were men of light passion like us. But they were men that could believe God. And they obeyed him. When they obey him, when they trust him and obey him, he converts their faith to righteousness. That's why there are two kinds of righteousness. There's one that is achieved by works. There's one that is achieved by faith, by grace. And a man can believe God and obey him. God even cancels every other thing that you say he has done and declares him just. Declares him justified. You know that Rahab the harlot. We just believe the message those two spies brought about how Jericho was going to fall and God was giving the children of Israel that and acted upon it and protected them, provided for them. That was it. When they gave her a simple instruction, put a scarlet thread on your window. It looks so stupid. How is a thread, a scarlet cloth, red cloth tied to my window, save me in the midst of war, in the midst of an invasion? She obeyed because she believed. That was it. That's how men and women have become heirs of the righteousness that come by faith. That's how Abraham got it. That's how Noah got it. That's how you and I, who are the seed of Abraham, are to do it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives within me. The life I now live in the flesh is a key, a technology for living a victorious Christian life. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Somebody loved you and died for you. Why can't you trust him? Why can't you trust him? He's giving you the most important thing. Why can't you trust him for other small things? There's one man God is looking for, and that man is here. That man is you. A man that will believe him. And a man that will obey him. There is no limit to what he can do with that man. There is no limit. Who knows whether God will anoint Pastor Randy to talk to us about further application of the law of compassion. Because you see, this thing we use for personal things, we can use it to bet the purposes of God on the earth. We can use it to change our generation. We can use it to change. I want us to pray. You know the prayer. God, you said, ask me and I'll give you nations for you. Give us a nuku. From governor down. Give us the whole of Eastern Nigeria. There is something burning in my spirit. The Holy Spirit pumped it. He's been pumping it for some days now. The word he uses, Reverend Oliver has a book on that. Gospel cultured society. Gospel cultured society. A whole society transformed and changed.
by the power of the gospel, by the power of God. Maybe the first example we're going to have is Southeast. Maybe it's Enugu State. Maybe it's some cities. And then let's have some South-South completely transformed. Let's have a completely transformed River State, completely transformed, transformed Cross River State, completely transformed, where righteousness reigns, where the climate is the climate of righteousness, where armed robbery goes down, ritual murder goes down, where God can we believe God for? Can you believe God for some big stuff? For God to visit this land and shift the destinies of our youths. Secondary school set on fire. Our young girls, they will regain their balance, regain their sense of value and virtue. God will shake our universities again. God will shake these cities. Lift up your hands and talk to Him. Just talk to Him. That's where we close. It's not going to happen without prayer. Prayer is the first law of conversion. If you want to see cities, nations that Jesus died for, let's ask God to visit this state. Let the glory of God do so much. Even in the homes, people will be getting healed. God will be, Jesus will be appearing to people. Angels will be visiting people, even in the market, in the buses, in the homes. Name. So we're going to use corporate anointing to deal with the city when we get out there. Remember that it doesn't matter what it is. You can even be counseling a person and you get a revelation, an insight, or act on it. Rebook this. Do that. Acts chapter 4. You remember that prayer? That's the last prayer I'll lead you today. That prayer, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servant, project it, that with all boldness they may declare your words, by stretching forth thy hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Let God pour his spirit so much. You know, this was the place, the Bible says, the place where they were gathered was what? Shaking. Let God pour an earth-shaking anointing or move of God upon this city, upon this region, and shake up, shake lives, shake ministries, shake churches, shake families, and cause such an outpouring of His Spirit and a move in signs and wonders that, and such mass salvation of people. And the Holy Spirit will pour out conviction of sin and conviction and revelation of Christ on this city. Everybody, just get up in whatever position you like, take, but pray. Let's pray this. Let's pray. It's God's will for people to be set free. But conversion is prayer, is the law of conversion. Prayer is the first law of conversion.